Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, Dino lovers. This is the Cinemistress, and I went and saw a movie. I saw Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, and James Cromwell. So let's go back in time a little bit. Jurassic Park is a favorite film of mine, since I've had a love of dinosaurs since I was a tiny little kitten. Jurassic Park was Spielberg at his best. It was smart and funny, and had insanely good effects, and it had sexy Ian Malcolm. It wasn't quite the book, but it was a damn fine film. It was followed, as most terrific films are, by a slightly less spectacular sequel, The Lost World. Yes, it still had sexy Ian Malcolm, but it also had gymnastics and Vince Vaughn. So it wasn't quite the first film. Then there was Jurassic Park 3, where the most notable thing is that a velociraptor says, "Alan." Yeah, it was that bad. Cut to 20-some-odd years later, and we got Jurassic World, which was a fun, but ultimately forgettable film. I actually had to rewatch it because I couldn't remember what happened. But hey, the dinosaurs look good, and Chris Pratt is very likable. And that brings us to today's topic, Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom. There will be a minor spoiler at the end, but I've got to tell you, if you've seen the trailers for this film, you've seen the film. The spoiler I saved to the end is very minor, but I will warn you before that minor spoiler. So let's get to the plot. It's 3-5 years after Jurassic World? Split the difference. It's 4 years after Jurassic World was demolished, and the volcano located on Isla Nublar is erupting, threatening the lives of the dinosaurs that still live on the island. The question everyone is asking is, do you save these genetically engineered creatures, or do you let nature take its course a second time? Dr. Ian Malcolm weighs in at the beginning of the film and says, let them all die, to the surprise of absolutely no one. What is surprising is that this is almost all you'll see of Malcolm. He shows up again very briefly at the end, but if you're looking to see Jeff Goldblum and Ian Malcolm in this film, yeah, you get maybe 3 minutes of him? I guess they only had Jeff Goldblum for a day. Claire, who was our heroine from the first movie, is now working with a Save the Dinos group, and Owen, our hero, is building a cabin in the forest. I guess that forced romantic partnering that they had at the end of the first film didn't work out. And they are recruited by Benjamin Lockwood, who partnered with Hammond and funded Jurassic World, to rescue as many dinos as possible from the island and transport them to a sanctuary. Apparently they need Owen to help find Blue, who was the sole surviving raptor, because they feel that Blue is a very valuable asset, and they need Claire to open a door. Claire, for some reason, brings two of her co-workers, a paleo veterinarian who's never actually seen a live dinosaur, and a computer engineer who's scared of everything. But of course the dinosaur rescue is a complete sham, and Lockwood's evil little toady Mills is actually bringing the dinos to the United States to auction them off. Yeah, it's that stupid. And it's up to Claire, Owen, and Lockwood's plucky granddaughter, Maisie, because you can't have a Jurassic Park slash World movie without a kid, to stop the evil auction and maybe save the dinosaurs. So, let's dig into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this film. The good. Well, the effects look good. The directing isn't bad. There's some really nice-looking scenes while they're on the island. I can't say the film looks bad. It doesn't. It actually looks very good. And the effects work. And that's about it for the good. As for the bad, well, let's start with the acting. Chris Pratt is just phoning this one in, as is James Cromwell, and that kind of surprises me because I really like these two actors, but I've never seen James Cromwell just phone in a performance. And here, yeah, he is barely there. Howard is, as she usually is, a bit bland. She's just kind of like a bland Jessica Chastain. Hilariously, they focus on her feet like 3 or 4 times, just so we are absolutely sure she is not wearing high heels. They learned that from the first film. The two side characters, the paleo veterinarian and the computer engineer, are so annoying. I kept hoping they would get eaten by dinosaurs. And maybe they did, because their characters kind of disappear at some point and you never see them again. the bad guys here are so cookie cutter. I can't even remember the name of the leader of the mercenaries that Ted Levine plays, who collects dinosaur teeth. And you're not even told why he does that until like 5 seconds before he dies. And then it's like, oh, he wanted a necklace. Oh, he's dead now. I guess that doesn't matter anymore. And can we talk about the deaths here? Because no one bleeds. Arms are ripped off. No blood. Faces are munched. No blood. Someone is literally ripped in half. No blood. No human in this film has blood. It got to be very laughable. I understand wanting to keep it a little clean for the kids, but come on. Of course, that wasn't quite as laughable as the script, which gets us into the ugly. This story is stupid. Why would you build a multi-billion-dollar amusement park on an island with an active volcano? This park would have been a disaster with or without the dinos running amok in the last film. This whole Jurassic World was doomed from the start because they didn't do any sort of research on the island, apparently. And there's absolutely no reason why the evil dude Mills needed Claire or Owen. I wasn't joking about Claire opening a door. They needed her palm to get into the main facility on the island. It's a good thing she didn't die at any point before then. I would think a crowbar would open the door. And Owen is just as useless, particularly since the group of mercenaries they send easily subdue Blue, which was the whole point of bringing him. Oh, and by the way, if you're so close to molten lava that your watch catches on fire, you're dead. You're breathing in toxic fumes and your skin is melting. Did we learn nothing from Dante's Peak and Volcano? That's not how lava works, people. Also, if your tranquilizer is going to incapacitate a dinosaur, I'm pretty sure it's going to actually kill a human being. And the security here is laughable. You thought the security in Ready Player One was bad? Oh man, it's got nothing on Jurassic World. These mercenaries round up all these dinosaurs and bring them on this huge boat, and then they secure nothing. Claire and Owen just drive onto the boat. No one questions them. No one checks on Blue, their most prized acquisition. There's this tragic scene of a brontosaurus on the edge of the island, and the smoke and the lava is overcoming him, and he's whining about all his friends being dead. And I was thinking, well, it's a brontosaurus. They probably couldn't fit him on the boat. But then later on, you see a brontosaurus, and I'm like, well, maybe he snuck on board like everyone else. No one was checking. And it's here that the film completely switches gears and becomes an even more stupid film, because they bring all of these dinosaurs to the United States, and apparently no one questioned them when they had this boat full of dinos. And then I couldn't figure out why they actually needed the dinosaurs. Because in Lockwood's massively huge basement, they have a laboratory complete with B.D. Wong, where they are incubating eggs and have DNA from most of the dinos, and are in fact creating more dangerous creatures. So why did they need the live dinos from the island? It seems like a huge waste of money when they're just incubating dinos in the basement. And this basement is so big that Lockwood himself doesn't even realize there's dinosaurs down there. Apparently, dinosaurs can be ninja quiet at times. And then the dinosaur they're actually creating, the Endosaurus, is apparently militarized so they could, you know, auction it off to militaries. And they try and explain this by going into history about how we used elephants and lions in militaries. And I kept thinking, yeah, but we don't anymore because they weren't really reliable. And the way they militarize it is... Okay, so you have a gun with a laser pointer, and you point the laser at the person that you want to die, and then you hit this sonic frequency button, and the Endosaurus will attack that person until they're dead, or until they get distracted, because they do get distracted. Of course, if you're close enough to the person you want dead that you're actually training a laser gun on them, why would you not just shoot them? Why involve the dinosaur? I think it would be easier to creep up on people with just your little laser gun than with a 12-foot dino behind you. But then I'm not a military genius. I mean, I would have loved it if they had cloned a saber-toothed tiger and had that thing chasing the laser pointers, because that would have been awesome. Final thoughts. This is a B-movie with a huge budget. It's big and it's dumb. The dinosaurs are cool, but not enough to really make up for the dumb script. Sure, characters disappear, never to be seen again, and sure, toxic gas affect the dinos, but not humans. But hey, at least Claire isn't wearing heels in this one. I can't recommend this, except maybe to riff it, and there is some good riffing material here. So, while a velociraptor that says, Alan, is still the stupidest thing in a Jurassic Park slash world movie, this movie is actually dumber than Jurassic Park 3. On a kaiju scale, with Jurassic Park being Godzilla, this one ranks a Gorgo. And now for the spoilers. Here's your warning.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
Okay. So the only thing they really didn't spoil in the trailers is that Lockwood's granddaughter, Maisie, is actually a clone. That's right, they aren't just cloning dinosaurs anymore. I would have thought they would have immediately moved on to humans after the first dinosaur clones worked, but apparently they didn't. And at the end of the movie, all of the dinosaurs they've brought off the island are trapped in the massively huge basement, and toxic gas is slowly killing them. And Claire decides, I can't let them out. I can't let them out into the world. And then little Maisie goes, yeah, well, I can't, and pushes the button and lets all of the dinosaurs out because they are just like her. Listen, you little brat, unless you're killing and eating the local population, they are not just like you. So this movie is just a big setup for the next one, where they will battle dinosaurs in the city streets. Oh, and Claire and Owen take the little clone girl at the end, because apparently that's legal. Well, actually, that's kidnapping, but hey, she's a clone. Does she really have any rights? This is the Cinemistress signing off, and I think I'm going to go watch a decent creature feature, like, I don't know, Godzilla vs. Megalon. Yeah. Bring on Jet Jaguar.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.